All right, so the title today is Coming Ready or Not. That was a pretty heavy passage, wasn't it? I thought it was. Anyway, it ends like crazily. So let's start with this. I wonder, who has seen the Lord of the Rings series? Hands up. That's quite a few of you, but I'm going to try my best to describe this moment right now, okay? So one of my favorite films is the final one. Called Return of the King. Isn't that handy? there's a moment in this film which is brilliant, and I absolutely love it. And it's when this guy here, one with the big sword, Aragorn, the king-to-be of a great kingdom called Gondor, arrives back in the capital city. And he arrives back in the capital city, but the capital city at the moment is under horrific siege. It is destroyed. The enemy is rampant all over it. It's looking bleak. It's looking like the enemy's going to win. And it is just dire. But then Aragorn walks in with a massive, undefeatable army behind his back. And you can see the camera turns to the enemy's faces, which were smug and think, we've got this in the bag. They see him and it just turns to insatiable fear because they know what's coming. And it's a brilliant moment, and Aragorn and his men wipe through the city and return and renew the city back to how it used to be, perfect and beautiful. And it's a great moment. I love that, the victory. Well, I don't think it takes long to look and see a similar kind of thing in our world today. Evil is rampant everywhere. Sickness is rife. Poverty is high. Children die before there's even a breath taken. It is awful, isn't it? Our governments are all over the place. And you just think, this is what is going on. Well, the Bible says to you today and tells us over and over again, one day the ultimate king of the universe, Jesus, is coming back. And he's going to restore and renew you and me, this whole world, back to perfection, back to how it should be. There'll be no more sickness, sadness, sorrow, trials or tragedies, because the old way of things will be over and the king is on the throne. Death will be defeated, and that is a glorious day. Do you not look forward to that day? I do, and I long for it to come so much. But will it be glorious for you? And that is what this passage is all about in Matthew. Because it's great, Jesus is coming back, but it gives you cause to check yourself. How are you living? Are you believing Jesus is coming back? And if so, how are you living right now in this life? Well, with that, let's start and open up onto the first point, which is don't know when. So, we know Jesus is coming. We know that for sure. But it says we do not know the date or the hour, as we read in verses 36, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So only the Father knows when Jesus returns, which is interesting, isn't it? Because throughout our ages, we've had many people try and predict the end of the world and predict when Jesus will come. We've had many popular ones which you'll know of, like the Mayan calendar, which brought about this amazing film, 2012. Who loved that and saw that? It was pretty crazy, wasn't it? Yeah, Jack, you liked it. I like it because it's just crazy, isn't it? All these things happening. And I'm glad it's not true. It didn't happen in 2012, did it? There was also the coming of the millennium when we thought machines would take over and computers would rule the world. Didn't happen, thankfully. Still holding out that won't happen, please. And but my favorite out of all these things, and this is true, I promise you, my favorite prediction ever was by this. It's a chicken, and it was called the Prophet Hen of Leeds. And I promise you, this is a true thing. In 1806, there was a chicken that started laying eggs, and it laid eggs, and the eggs came out with the inscription on them of Jesus is coming. And people went mental, like, this chicken's saying Jesus is coming today, and it went crazy. But Jesus didn't come in 1806, did he? And actually, it was found out, It was found out that the guy, the owner of the chicken, was taking the fresh eggs from the chicken and wrote on them, Christ is coming, Jesus is coming, and then reinserted them into the chicken's bottom. And I was just like, oh, that is awful. How does he even do that? Crazy. But anyway, this is the point. We don't know when he's coming, so don't waste your time trying to predict a day or an hour. How good is that? So we don't know when. We do not know a date or an hour. We do not know a specific day, only the Father. But we do know this. We are told this about that day. We're told it will be an ordinary day. So look with me, verse 38 to 39. For in those days, before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. This is how it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. Son of Man is just a poetic way of describing who Jesus is in that situation. So, okay, so Jesus tells us here what it will be like when he comes by comparing it back to Noah's day. And he says, look, when the floods came, it was an ordinary day for those people. They were just going about their usual things. And then the floods came. When the floods came, people were eating, they were drinking, celebrating, giving in marriage, putting their children to bed, going around the fire. Ooh, what's the wedding going to be like tomorrow? And then the floods came. It was an ordinary day. It was a usual day, going about their usual things. And Jesus says, so it will be when I come back. You will be going about your usual day's activities. You'll be going to weddings, getting married at weddings, having barbecues with your neighbors, walking to church. It'll be your ordinary day. And you won't be expecting it. There won't be a warning the day before, but he'll just come. Know this. Because this is such an important thing to know, I think, for me, because we can fall into that sense of, oh, Jesus isn't coming soon. It's going to take ages for him to come. Loads of stuff has to happen before Jesus comes back. The world's going to be turned upside down. It won't look like it will today, but no. That's not what Jesus is saying in this passage. He's saying it'll be your ordinary, usual day when I come back and you won't be expecting me. Now, there are lots of signs and things you can talk about that the Bible says, absolutely, like wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes, which guess what? We see more of in the 21st century than ever before. Our earthquakes are bigger. Famine and poverty is terrible. Wars have been bigger than ever before in the 20th century. So if you want to talk about those signs, then go for it. But guess what? Those signs aren't changing the ordinary day you are having right now today. And Jesus says, I could come any moment. So are you ready? Okay. So, let's move on to the next bit. Jesus tells us something else about this day. So a day we do not know, but we know it's an ordinary day. What else is going to happen on this day? Jesus says, verse 40, two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. In other words, Jesus says that when he comes, there will be a divide. Some will be taken, others will be left. The taken here, where he says taken, means taken to death and judgment. Because he's referring back to the language he used to describe Noah's day, how they were taken away by the flood. So we can say that taken means death and destruction. So one will be taken, one will be left. Who's left? The people who are ready for Jesus' return. The followers of Jesus. They'll be ready for Jesus' return, just like how Noah was ready when the floods came. He didn't know when the flood was coming, but he believed it was coming. And then he'd worked and was ready for when they did. And so similarly, Jesus goes on to tell us how we can be ready for his return. Let's go into the second point. So, be ready. I don't understand those question marks. But so he said we don't know when Jesus is coming, but it could be any day is going to be your ordinary day, and Jesus says you won't expect it. So now verse 42, he tells us to expect it. So let's read verse 42 to 44. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord, will come, but understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So basically, Jesus says, keep watch. Be expecting it. Be ready. Understand it's happening. Know he's coming. Understand why he's coming. What's going to happen on that day? Expect this day. And that's the first thing we can do to be ready. Because Jesus says, for those who aren't expecting him, it's going to be a surprise, an awful surprise. Just like when a thief breaks into a house, it's going to be a shock. You don't know it's coming. Jesus says it's going to be an absolutely awful shock for those. And there's some terrifying verses that the Bible uses to describe that day for those who don't believe in Jesus, aren't expecting him to come back. As we read here, Revelation 6, verse 16, and they called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. It's going to be a catastrophe for them, guys. And this is really sad and serious, because it's going to be a moment when Jesus comes and they will see, just in that split moment, Jesus in the skies and realize everything I was living for was him. Everything I always wanted was actually in him. I was actually made to have a relationship and know him, but it'll be too late. And the Bible says in that day, in that moment, people will cry out to rocks to crush them rather than facing Jesus. But Jesus doesn't want to meet you like that. Jesus warns us here because he wants to meet you as a loving friend and savior. He doesn't want that to happen to you. So please, please believe it will happen. If you're here and you don't believe in Jesus, or you just don't really think that Jesus is coming back, then please rethink what you know, because he's going to come back. The people in Noah's day didn't believe it was happening, but it still happened. Expect it. Know he is coming back. The way you meet him on that day depends on how you respond right now in this moment today. So, be ready by knowing Jesus is coming, by expecting Jesus to come, believing he is coming. But is that it? Is that all we're to do? Are we just sit back and just think, yeah, he's going to come? Well, no, of course not. Because I bet I'd be willing to put all my money on this. If you knew a thief was breaking into your house right now, this moment, 100% of you would not be in this room right now. You'd be rushing off down the road. You'd be getting out your phone from your pocket and ringing the police. You'd be making ready, trying to do something and stop this thief, right? Maybe if you're Dan James over there, that big guy, he'd just turn up and he'd walk away. But it wouldn't be for my case. I'd ring the police and get an armed guard or something. But this knowledge that you know the thief is happening causes you to go and do something, right? So it is with Jesus. You know Jesus is coming back. This should change the way you live right now, here and today. Okay. Because after all, your actions prove what you believe. If you came up to me after the service and whispered, hey, Jake, there's a thief breaking into my house right now, I'd say, on your bike, you're having a laugh. You're not believing what you're just saying. Because your actions don't believe what you... aren't correct for what you're doing, right? You get what I'm saying? You prove what you believe by the way you act and live. Okay? And so likewise, live now and today, if you're believing in Jesus, live out that belief. Right? And so if you're doing this, this actually shows if you are ready for him to come back. If you're believing in him, and then living out the right life because of that belief that he's coming back. Okay, so let's look at the third point. So, ready, question mark, because we've seen what it looks like. It's an ordinary day. We don't know what it's going to be. You're to expect it. But what I said, you should live out a life that shows the belief is true. But what does that actually look like? How are we to actually be ready for Jesus to come back? That is a huge, huge question, isn't it? Okay, so let me not get confused in my notes. Let's read verse 45-51, because in here Jesus tells us what a ready Christian, one who believes he is coming back and lives out that belief in his life, looks like. Okay, let's read this together. So, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. Then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he doesn't expect him at an hour when he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that is just incredibly strong words, right? But basically what's happening here is a servant comparison. So let's compare these two servants, right? There is faithful and wise, and there's the wicked servant. So let's look at the wicked servant, the faithful and wise servant, sorry. Okay, so faithful and wise. He's been given a job by the master whilst the master is away to feed and look after the other servants in the household, right? That's his job, and so that's what he does. He goes about his everyday, ordinary days being faithful to the duties that the master has given him. So when the master returns, he's going to find the servant on any ordinary, normal day about the house, being faithful to the work which the master has given him and building up the household of the master. Okay? Serving his older brothers and sisters and living out his ordinary days in faithfulness to the master. All right? And Jesus says that'll be good for him when the master comes back, because he'll find him doing these things and he'll say, and the master said he's going to give him back so much more than what you already had. Okay, so that's what he does. But let's look at the wicked servant now, because this is very, very interesting. I found this fascinating because notice what Jesus is doing here. He's not talking specifically, strictly about a non-Christian. Because this wicked servant has the same job. He's in the same house. He's under the same master, working with the same servants, using the title of servant, say he's gonna obey and love the master. But what does he do? He lives out that old phrase of when the cat's away, the mice will play, and he thinks, get in, yes, the master's gone. I'm gonna live how I actually want to live. And he goes and beats up the servants and drinks with the drunkards and shows his true colors. In other words, guys, he's calling himself a Christian. He's walking around with that title every single day. But is he? Is he actually believing that he's a Christian? Because he's not living like it. So can we say he believes it? I don't think we can say he believes it, no. This is very, very interesting and a real warning that Jesus says to us now to check yourself. He sends out this warning to Avenue Church this morning to me, and says, look at how you're living. It matters how you're living in this moment today, day in, day out. Because it proves what you believe, what you say. You might be coming here for a long time. You might have been joining in with our activities, singing a few songs, praying a couple of prayers. But what are you actually like outside of this building, outside of this actual community? Are you living out what you believe? Because this servant, although he knew who the master was, he even knew the master was going to return at some point, wasn't ready for him, and the master found him as he truly was. And it is a terrifying, awful verse, isn't it? Verse 51, he, the master, will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. He will be sent away from the master, from the household, and be punished for what he's done. And guys, this is a serious message, and it's supposed to strike us deep and shock us and make us check ourselves, because that's what a warning does. So be like the faithful servant who recognized where he was, who recognized that everything he had was actually given to him by the master. The house was the master's, the food was the master's, the job was the master's, and so he lived out every day faithful to what he had been given. And he loved the master and longed for his return because he knew who the master was, that he was kind and generous and giving and loving, and that he would come back and reward him with far much more than he had in the beginning. So similarly, be ready for Jesus by living every day, every ordinary, normal day in faithfulness to Jesus, believing in him, understanding who he is, understanding this day is coming back and what it means, and being faithful to what he has given you. Got tech skills? Brilliant. Go and serve a company and work for them. Got musician? Great. Go and write some beautiful music and serve and use the gift you've been given And whilst you're at it, come serve in the church as well. We love more musicians. We love more techies. You understand these gifts you've been given in your life. Use them for God and build up his kingdom. Being given a wife, a husband, a family, that is such a blessing. And becoming more of a rarity these days. So love and serve them as Jesus has loved you. Use what you have been given, what you have been shown. Do you understand? If you love Jesus, you will, because after all, that's the natural progression of love, right? Love and then action. And that's how you will be ready for him. Now, this, understand me clearly here, this isn't a call to be perfect. Notice in this little story, it does not say, and the servant was perfect for the rest of his days and lived out every day perfectly until the master came back. No, it says the servant was faithful. He was faithful to the master. When you fall, when you and I do wrong, when we mess up, when we are tempted and we give in, when you give in to anger, jealousy, or envy, then faithfully come back to Jesus every single day. Repent, say sorry for what you've done. That itself, that action alone, shows that you are believing what you're actually saying and that you know who Jesus is. So that's how we are to live. And that is how you'll be ready for Jesus' return. Maybe you're here today and you're not even a Christian. Maybe this is your church for the first time. Brilliant. Welcome. You're always welcome here. We'd love to see you more. And maybe you just say, well, I don't really know about Jesus, to be honest. I don't really believe he exists. Well, please, please come and talk to any one of us in this room. Come talk to me or the people who welcomed you in, or basically most people in this room, because this is such an important thing to know. You need to know Jesus, or have at least thought about it. Please rethink what you know if you do not know him. Because he wants to know you, and he completely changed my life and over 100 other people's lives in this room, in this building. Please don't put it off. Don't let the ordinariness of the days around you make you disbelieve that he's true, that he's coming back. Didn't change a thing for Noah's day. His flood still came. Jesus is still coming. So, he is coming, and it is glorious and brilliant and beautiful for those who believe in him and who know him, because he is coming to wipe evil, get rid of it completely. There'll be no more sadness or sickness, as we talked about. It'll be a glorious day. So be happy, Christian. Look forward to it. But make sure you are living out your days in faithfulness to the master in what he's given you. And this can be hard, and you can often lose sight of what he's given you, what he's done for you, right? So what should we do when we are trying to remember, when we're trying to live out love and action, action from love? We should look and see we've been given the greatest example of action from love we've ever seen, the world will ever know. And guess what? You probably know it's coming. It's the cross. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said he loved you and wanted you, and he proved it. He came and died for you. He took the wrong, which you know you do, we all do wrong, and the Bible says it deserves divine punishment. And Jesus came and took your place and took that punishment. He lived out what he said. That is such a call for us to, isn't it? What love and what grace we've been shown. So live out your days, your ordinary days, from the bottom of your heart from this love which you've been shown. And use the gifts which you've been given. And do this until he comes back, and you'll be ready.